First, Do No Harm, a biblical approach to the transgender movement on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. I am thrilled to have with us today Dr. Dan Dean. He went to medical school at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. He and his wife, Kelly, live in Spokane, Washington, where he has practiced primary care internal medicine for 34 years. He became ACBC certified in 2016, and he enjoys teaching on medical subjects for us here at ACBC. He serves as lay elder of biblical counseling at Faith Bible Church, and he had the honor of contributing two chapters to the Christian Counselor's Medical Desk Reference, the second edition. He and his wife, Kelly, have raised three children who are all married and loving their nine delightful grandchildren, and in his free time, he loves cycling, woodworking, fly fishing, music, reading, and travel. Brother, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dale. It's good to be back.
And we are diving into a very difficult topic, especially one that is hot and inflammatory in the days in which we live. And we want to look back at this in such a way to make sure that we're making biblical sense of the chaos that's happening really in our world. I want you to talk as a medical doctor, which you are, and to give us some sense of, you know, maybe for many of us who aren't in the medical world, we hear about this transgender stuff and it seems like it just hit the floor so quickly and it has moved in so quickly. Now it seems that this terminology dominates culturally and societally in so many places. Describe what you can as a medical doctor about the movement itself, the transgender movement.
Well, as you might remember, a couple of years ago, you asked me to write a paper on this subject, and I said, okay, and I had no idea what I was really getting myself into. And my wife, Kelly, did a lot of the research for me, and she would send me articles, and she'd say, ooh, this is dark. Ooh, this is sad. So as I was studying and putting that paper together, I did find some things I think can be helpful for all believers, and I'm going to speak first as a medical doctor, because that's where we want to start. When I went to medical school, I took an oath. It was the Hippocratic Oath, and I was to first to do no harm. But the reality is that for thousands of years, doctors have been doing harm, and usually they think they're doing it for the right reasons. They're thinking that they're helping people. They have a theory about how the body works, and they're going to practice based on that theory. And even as far back as Dr. Luke, there is stories like in Book of Mark where it says that she spent all of her money on physicians and did not get better, but was actually worse. So that is a reality, and I just want to apologize to everyone now that doctors are not perfect, and yet they really do mostly want to get up in the morning and help people. And so the real problem is that they have the wrong facts, the wrong science that they're basing things off of. So in the last 150 years, science has gotten a lot better, and you can really do some amazing things to relieve suffering and help people. But even now, especially with this transgender movement, there are doctors that are doing harm to people that are miserable and unhappy. And the doctors actually think they're helping. And it's really because they're making the wrong assumptions.
That's such a helpful perspective, to be honest, because it's almost like the cultural oppression with this gender identity construct. It's so oppressive. We almost feel awkward to say something like that, that we're dealing with people who are hurting deeply. And are we actually helping them by, you know, putting them under a knife or encouraging what has seemed to add to their suffering and vexation? As we think about that, okay, that's medical perspective. As we think about transgender stuff, we move into biblical counseling. How do we as biblical counselors think about this whole transgender movement and counseling those who may struggle with transgender ideology or these types of constructs in their mind? The way that this comes to me a lot of times, Dan, would be, you know, a family member who's a concerned family member. They're not sure what to do. A son or a daughter is wrestling with some of these ideologies. How do we approach this as biblical counselors?
For the last few years, they've called this gender dysphoria as one of the diagnoses. And I just like to point out that dysphoria is a feelings word. And If you're a biblical counselor, we're all into feelings. We like to figure out what people are feeling, but then we want to trace it back to what are they thinking? And then we want to figure out what God is thinking or what God says. And so as the biblical counselor, you want to go right back to what God said in Genesis 1, where he calls his creation male and female, and he calls it good. And then Jesus reaffirms that in Matthew 19, where he says, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female. So God's word's always going to be our authority on that. And I believe that the transgender movement exists because the Bible is not authoritative for most people anymore. People don't want to know what God has to say. And the transgender person really needs to hear you, the counselor, speak the truth in love, and they need to be actually lovingly confronted with their rebellion against God's design for their life. And these people, like I said, are incredibly unhappy, and they actually are believing a lie that they'd be happier if they had the different sex than they were born with, the sex that God chose for them. And so as a counselor, you want to get them to the place where they actually want to know, what does God think? What does God want for me? And I think because it is a frightening subject, every counselor is going to need courage. We as parents, we as friends, as counselors, we all need courage in this area.
Yeah, very good call. I think courage is definitely the order of the day when we're dealing with such sensitive subjects. And I want to talk about this maybe a little closer when we often have access to parents, and the parents have really wrestled. You know, if we think about what they've experienced, they've sort of been on this journey with this child and watching them maybe dabble in certain areas, or they might bring up, the child may bring up some sort of pattern of thinking, or what, mom, what do you think about this? Or, you know, I think I would like to dress this way, or, you know, just the parent has walked through this experientially and now this is becoming such a burden to them. We may have access to parents. And so what are some of the things that we would, as you mentioned, we want to have courage, but we also want to do this with compassion the way that Christ did, as he was patient with so many. How do we talk to the parents of a child who is wrestling with this transgender ideology?
Whenever I talk about parenting, I always say, God gave you children so you can suffer. And that's the only way I grow, is when I'm suffering. God uses suffering for my growth. And these parents are suffering incredibly. And I think they need to be reminded that it's actually not their job to save their child. It is their job to be a faithful parent, like it says in Ephesians 6:4. And they want to bring him up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I think when your child starts saying these things, there's an instructing to do, and there's the need to tell truth to your child. And it is frightening because parents worry, well, if I don't use your names or your pronouns, you might run away, or you might be taken away. My state might take you away from me. So parents are really frightened by those things. And that does actually happen in our society now. And so I think parents are often tempted to compromise on some of those issues because they want to keep the lines of communication open. And I want my kid to know that I still love them. And also, like, if you're a parent, sometimes you'll hear these lies where they'll say, would you rather have a transgender child or a dead child? Sadly, some kids do commit suicide because they're so unhappy. Those things are all bouncing around in a parent's heart. And the passage that I think is the most challenging for me in this area is Matthew 10, 34 through 39. And if I can read it, that would be great. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And you don't want to deny Christ in this way. And this is a heavy passage about not wanting to deny Christ by actually speaking lies people are asking us to speak. So the other good news, though, is that parents should never give up on their kids, because they just need to keep praying and loving them and showing them that they love them, because God can still save them. Even if they've gone through all those surgeries and had all those hormone changes, God's the one that's going to rescue your child.
Yeah, that's right. And man, what a difficult burden that somebody has to bear. And to think that we as the church can come alongside and bear that burden with them with the courage to speak some of the truths that you were just describing, but also the parent vacillates back and forth between, you know, I want to speak the truth to my child. I don't want them to walk into this deception. But then also, as you mentioned, some of the fears of what the government may threaten us with, or the threat of our child committing suicide. And then on the other side, the parent wrestles with, am I enabling in some way? And man, these are very difficult conversations to have. But for us to engage in that world can be very important. And just as you mentioned, reminding parents the truths of the scripture and who it is that does the saving and who we want to bring our child before, truly. Now, we may sometimes, and this may be rare, but we may sometimes also have access to talking with the child as they're wrestling, you know, through this process of transgender. There are all sorts of laws. We've talked about on other podcasts about state licensed folks are limited in what they can say and do. And we still have religious freedom to gently talk to a child about some of the things you mentioned at the beginning about God making us male and female and so on. But there is an occasion where we may get to speak to a child who has gone through this whole process. They realize it did not make them happier. It's not made them better. And we're seeing those statistics rise actually in detransitioning. What do we do if we get opportunity to speak life into a person who's been in that transgender world for maybe quite some time, who is considering this whole process of detransitioning?
Well, again, you want to speak the truth in love. And I think things I would say are, you thought you knew what would make you happy. You thought that God had made you the wrong gender, and you decided that he was the one that was making the mistake. And of course, God doesn't make mistakes. And every one of us needs a relationship with the Lord. And that means that they're actually going to have to recognize that their transgender choices were acts of defiance or rebellion against God. So they need to repent, just like all the rest of us, of their sins, their wrong thoughts, their wrong emotions. And of course, they've been wanting peace and joy this whole time, and they haven't found it. But he is our ultimate source of our peace and joy. And so they need to repent. They need to submit. They need to learn how to read their Bible. They need to learn how to pray. They need to get plugged in at a church where they're going to hear the Bible. They need to learn the one another's that we all need in the Christian life. So again, as a parent or a friend, you're going to need courage to say those things.
Yeah, and that is very difficult. And we're talking about deep-seated, deep-rooted patterns of thinking by which it's going to take time in processing. And that sort of leads us to another question. And I get my students to think about these types of questions where I say, you know what, you're engaged as the counselor, but really, we have the wealth of the church to engage. You should start thinking about, how can the church be involved in something like this? How can the church help with the resources that they have in particular cases? In this case, we're talking about, you know, transgender folks who struggle with those constructs. What do you tell the church about loving transgender people? And let me just pause and say before you answer that, some people would say, well, it doesn't sound like, you know, if we're telling somebody the truth, that's really that loving. Well, when we come from a heart of compassion and mercy, which is the heart of Christ, the tenderness of Christ toward people who are suffering and people who are finding themselves deeply in sin, it is loving. It is compassionate for us to, with gentleness and kindness, to speak the truth. So talk with us a little bit about how a church can truly love, be patient with those who struggle with this besetting sin.
One of the things that I've noticed in the past is, if your child is kind of going off the rails or having trouble, parents are often very ashamed. And rather than reaching out to the church and saying, I need help, I need prayer, our child needs prayer, they often just fade away or move away or stop coming to the church. So I think we as a church really need to look out for parents whose kids are suffering and who are going off the rails, like I said, because those parents are ashamed and they may not feel the love of the church. So they need to know that this is, they need the church more than ever when this happens to support them. So you can also ask them how to pray for their child. So their child might not be coming to church. Their child might be gone. And yet loving that parent would be, well, tell me some details. I want to know how to pray for your child, because we have lovely stories of churches and friends that have prayed for years for kids. And then God does bring them back to them. So I think you also have to just remember that really the sin of transgender is no worse than any other sin. We're all sinners, and we all need God's grace. I loved Heath Lambert's book that came out last year about the great love of God. It seems like everybody I counsel really does not know how much God loves them. And the more I can help them see that, the better. So,
yeah, brilliant. Well said. Brother, thank you for your time and effort in thinking about these very difficult subjects and helping us to think and not be afraid about the medical side or the way the government and the culture sort of oppresses this idea, but really in a gentle way, helping us as a church to think about how we can be empowered with the gospel to minister the great love of God to people, and that we would do that faithfully. So thank you for leading us in that.
Thank you, Dale.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, part of ACBC's mission is to partner with local churches for training in the United States and around the world. Every year, we host regional counseling and discipleship trainings in the U.S. We call them CDTs. This year, we will be doing four, one in Abilene, Texas, one in Union City, Tennessee, one in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and a new one in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you live near any of those areas and you're looking for our fundamentals discipleship training for your church staff, or the fundamental trainings that you need for phase one of ACBC certification, I want to invite you to join us on location in those four places. The dates and registration information can be found on our website, biblicalcounseling.com.